I'm finding okay. He's back to normality. He's pretty good. Ian struggles a bit being the king of Aberdare, so he gets recognised a lot. But now it's nice to be back in, you know, the rugby environment and get on with it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. I think, you know, when you're walking around the streets of Aberdare and people are just stopping you and saying congratulations, so it's quite a big achievement and quite flattering, really. But it's just something I put behind me now and just trying to focus on the season, because if I was only as like a king of mumbles of Ireland win, then it'd be easy. But there we are.
Joke stealer.
Sorry.
Do you feel the pair of you had a very different kind of Lions tour?
No, not at all, really. No, of course, obviously, I'll speak for myself, but yeah, obviously I wasn't involved in the test game, so it's obviously a different tour, I suppose, but still a part of good experience, really, from my point of view, and I'm sure Al would say he had a different experience.
I think Ian's been a bit modest there. I think you can, from a progression sort of thing, yeah, maybe involved in it a bit more, but at the end of the day, it's a squad effort when you go on tours like that, when you're playing two or three games a week. Nah.
Oh, stop it.
Come on, stop being modest there.
No, right.
No, when you're playing two or three games a week, it is, you know, it's squad effort, and people only really remember the result, you know, at the end of the day. We're a squad that won that, you know, test series, and that's all people remember in years to come. So, you know, we're pretty pleased to do it with this character beside me.
You've got a reputation, Alan, sometimes for maybe feeling that it's you against the world. Would you agree with that statement?
Who's Alan win against the world? No, I don't think so.
In a media kind of perspective.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'll come to the defence in a minute.
All the men I talk to, you're the only person that has ever said that, so thanks, Alan. Go on, Ian, you describe it.
Suppose maybe. No, I wouldn't. I disagree with that. I think when he probably speaks, he speaks for the players, really, and he's probably trying to defend the group of players, but I think that's pretty. Maybe a little bit of a harsh comment.
And defence?
No, it's an opinion. There's no need. There's no defence to come. I think I'm defensive as against the world. No, my point is, in regards to coach will ask questions about selection and stuff. He'll protect his players. I'm not obviously going to protect fellow players because everyone's big enough and man enough to make their own things. But what I do struggle with is if I get a stupid question, I'm ultimately going to give a stupid answer. And a lot of the times you get loaded questions, people know they do it, and they can have a bit of banter with some people, and some people understand me. And if you don't understand me, well, that's not my problem.
That was a great answer.
Thanks, Sam.
Lovely.
Now, you've had success and victories in the Six Nations, in the Lions. What happens now if you don't reach the knockout stages for the Ospreys?
I think playing for the Ospreys as a player, I think everybody starting or wants to progress in the Heineken Cup quarterfinal with the knockout stages, I think that's our goal. But it's not an easy task as everyone thinks it is, but I think we've got a group of players here that if we knuckle down hard enough, I think we can cause one or two upsets, and if we can win our own games, then that might put us in a good position.
The tagline that comes with any pool we'd have in the Heineken Cup is Pool of Death, and I don't necessarily think sometimes it's because of the actual teams we face, it's more of what we haven't achieved in the past. And that's fair enough. You know, we're not gonna take it as a too bad a criticism, but it's just a case of what we haven't done in the past. Like you look at our pool this year, Cast, Northampton and Leinster, all very strong teams. We know a little bit about all of them. Leinster, obviously, a lot more because they play in our league. But it's definitely a team we look at and think we can progress to a quarterfinal. You know, if you look at it as a whole, we're 10 years older now. Obviously, a lot of players have moved on, but a lot of players have come through. And let's not forget, we actually beat Toulouse last year at home. I know it's one game that people will say, oh, you're holding on to that victory, but you know, bodes well with the players we had, and the players that played are still here last year. So
I hate to think what budget they got compared to what we have, and so,
30 million euros apparently.
30 euro million compared to a 3.5 million budget, and I think we beat them at home. I think that shows the type of character we got in our squad, really.
We are going to have to touch upon the Heineken Cup. What is going to essentially keep players like you in Wales? I'm not talking about what's going to take you away. What's going to keep you here?
Well, you have to have a competition, don't you? European competition, that's as attractive as the Heineken Cup, realistically, I think, you know. We just don't like to compare ourselves to footballers, but I think, you know, every player will say they want to play in the Champions League. Our equivalent of the Champions League is the Heineken Cup. So I think that, first and foremost, has to be main target for the top people who are going to try and sort that competition out.
Now, was that a question about European rugby or contracts?
A bit of both.
Oof. No, I think, you know, I can't speak about anybody else's contract or decisions they make. Boys have obviously gone, some solely go for the money, some go for culture, and some go for a bit of both. You can't blame anybody for making that decision. The only thing you hope to happen as a player is you want to have the most difficult decision to make. If it's an easy decision, then That's not your fault. People talk about money. Is it all about the money? No, not necessarily. Does the money make a difference? Yes. But the variables you take into consideration are longevity of career. If you go away, obviously you're going to play more. If you stay here, you've obviously got support of the club, your family's going to be here. These are all the things you take into account.
What's the dream scenario then? Is the dream scenario for a Welsh player to have the Heineken Cup here and to play for a Welsh region? Is that the dream scenario?
I think you know, there's obviously these murmurings going on with certain unions questioning their own involvement in the European rugby at the minute. It's ultimately players that are just in the middle of it all. But I, as players, it would, you know, we not chuck a spanner in the works, but it'd be interesting to see what the opinions would be on the global season that some people have spoken about. Because if you had the global season, everybody starts at the same time, you know, everybody could have it, the better weather, you could have a Northern Hemisphere Championship and a Southern Hemisphere Championship, domestic league, and then you could have a club championship towards the end. All the international windows would run at the same time. I personally think you'd end up with less congestion domestically, internationally. You wouldn't be able to squeeze any more internationals in. So, you know, the spectacle would be greater because you wouldn't have international rugby for 10 months of the year, which, you know, we do and we don't have sort of thing, because obviously there's Six Nations, then there's championships, then there's autumns. And there's not the time lag in between these competitions now. So from a player's perspective, I think that would be the interesting one to chuck in the mix, a global rugby season. But you know, I don't know if that would happen in our time, but you know, it's definitely one I think should look at.
And does 2015 ever come into the back of your mind? Or is that really far back? I know that you're saying that you don't look forward, but that's got to come into it at some point.
Not for me, really. I haven't really thought about 2015. Just trying to concentrate one season at a time because you don't know what's around the corner.
I've answered this two ways, because I answered it once and said, no, not thinking about it at all. And then I thought, well, yes, it is in the back of your mind, but not as a player, more as a fan. You know, before I was ever involved in any sort of age grade rugby, it was always World Cup and oh wow, because obviously the Football World Cups gets a lot more PR and stuff, but yeah, it was always as a fan, Rugby World Cup. And now that I've been inside the tent, if you like, a few times, to have both perspective, I think, yeah, it's in the back of the head, but I know what it's got to take to get there as well. So being at the semi-final, being that close to a final, you know, it just whets the appetite for even more. So it's in the back of the head, but like Jan said, it's a lot of rugby to go under the bridge.